all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning. It's July 1st. Here we are in July already, second half of 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app or social media or on demand as a podcast. Thanks for taking us along as you get your week started. I got a question for you. What kind of a work week is this for you, with the fourth being on a Thursday? Do you have to work like Wednesday and Friday and just have that really weird split work week? Or are you taking off Thursday, Friday? Are you taking off Wednesday and basically mailing it in on Monday and Tuesday? He said, trying not to talk about himself too much, but it's going to be kind of a short work week for yours truly. And there's a lot to talk about before we can get to the holiday, the long holiday weekend, including wondering out loud, are the Brewers too good? That, of course, would be a joke. We enjoy the good times. We ride out the bad times. But holy cow, if you're a fan of home runs, especially the big, big kind that score four runs, this has been quite a week for you as a Brewers fan. We have a lot to cover today. We'll talk to Joe Sopecki, who we normally talk to on Thursday mornings, but then there was a debate Thursday night, so we're going to talk to him today. We're going to talk to Mark Jacob, who we normally talk to on Fridays. But we wanted to talk to him today and get more of the reaction to Thursday night's debate. And I'll have more than a couple of harsh words as well for the way that some folks have been covering the aftermath of the debate. Along the way, you can join us with your questions, comments, takes, what have you, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can use the Civic Media app as well to reach us, or you can comment on the Facebook or YouTube pages for Up North News if you're watching us there. And the email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. It is just a gorgeous sunny morning here. I'm not going to say quite chilly, but you know, for July, you'd like it to be just, you know, maybe 5 degrees warmer, but 50 is okay. 42 in Hayward right now, 44 in Park Falls. Wausau's at 51, Green Bay 52, La Crosse 54, Wisconsin Rapids 50 degrees right now, Oshkosh 52, Madison 54, and it's 48 degrees in Waukesha. We're at the studios of WAUK The Shaw. We find one Greg Bach ready for his Independence Day work week as well, Mr. Bach. What's your situation?
Well, it's sort of like I have a vacation, kind of, in a way, because the club is closed all week. So no open mic on Wednesday, no shows on Friday and Saturday, and I got work. But I got work here. So when you have two jobs, and you're off from one of them, it sort of feels like a vacation.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, any little bit of extra time is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get it.
Absolutely. I got a Thursday off, and then I'm hosting Matt and Air on Air on Friday, but I'm going to be like coming in doing that and be like, peace out, everyone. I will see you next week, because I can't wait for this weekend.
Do you have a big plan already?
No.
Oh.
Friday.
That's the big plan? Doing nothing.
When you work Friday night and Saturday night every week, pretty much all year long, a weekend of nothing where you don't have to worry about getting in the car and driving, and it's gonna be great. We're having a couple people over on Friday. We're gonna inaugurate the grill.
Okay.
But Saturday and Sunday, I'm gonna try to do as little as humanly possible.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's exactly how it is supposed to work. We really enjoyed how glorious yesterday was, because it seemed like, I mean, all spring, early summer now, it's either been raining on a weekend day. Mm-hmm. Or the conditions have been okay, but the wind is blowing at 40 miles an hour. And that was definitely the case Saturday. We were at a backyard party. Felt really bad for the neighbors. They do this every year. And some years the weather, again, is just perfect. And some years it's cloudy and the wind is howling. You know, it's warm enough. Well, kind of. But, you know, it's just windy as all get out. And so yesterday, when it finally settled down, it just made for a perfect day. But the difference was yesterday, you could see the folks who kind of live around here on Lake Wasota and on the river, and they're up and down, and there's quite a few boats out there. Saturday, despite how windy it was, like there were white caps on the water.
Whoa.
And you still saw the occasional boat going past, and you're like, who's on there? It's like people who this was their only day, you know, they're coming up from Chicago or Milwaukee or wherever, and like this is their weekend, you know, and it's like, no, we're getting out on that boat. It doesn't matter. This is the only time we have to get out here. So they're out there.
Put a sweater on and strap in. We're going out and having fun.
You're having fun. Stop chattering your teeth like that. Yeah, it's been that kind of a spring summer so far, but you know, keeping our fingers crossed for a good weekend here. I know we're due for rain again tonight, showers and thunderstorms, and then again maybe Thursday, Friday. But like I said with Brittany before, it's kind of the bargaining phase. Like, okay, we'll do it during the work week, just so it's better later, right? You said hopefully, right?
Pat, do you know what? Like the weather right now and the Brewers have in common.
What's that?
Nothing at all. But they've hit 5 grand slams in 8 days. Patrick, Tyrone, Iljanovic, Kreitlow. The Brewers are amazing.
The Brewers, it is a grand slam time to be a Brewers fan.
Oh, my God.
5 in their last 8 games. Only one other team has ever done that in history. The Brewers taking 2 of 3 from the Cubs. That look on Craig Counsell's face is just so good.
Can't get on board with it.
Schadenfreund. You know, 7-1. Brewers beat the Cubs, took 2 out of 3. Bryce Terang's grand slam, part of a 7-run fourth inning. And it was his second grand slam in his last 5 games. How'd you do last week at work? He did pretty okay.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a Bryce fan. I didn't see one of his. I saw Reese Hoskins hit a grand slam on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it's a beautiful thing.
And what have we talked about most of the season? The Brewers can't score with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
Now it's like the bases are loaded, you know, here, hold my beer, and boom. Yeah. How about if everybody comes home? Everybody comes in.
The other teams now are going to be like, you know what, guys, everyone's on base. Just you can have them. Just have all the 4 runs. Let's just spare us the immediate embarrassment and just go ahead. We'll just give it to you.
It's just amazing. Now the Brewers lost to the Cubs Saturday, although in my mind they lost to the home plate umpire and his, you know, strike zone the size of a Mack truck. But then the Cubs scored in the first inning again yesterday off Freddie Peralta, and I thought, oh no, here we go. Is Freddie struggling? But no, settled down after that. He went 7 innings. He retired his final 14 batters in a row. Jacob Junis took it the rest of the way. And so for your first place Milwaukee Brewers, it is their 9th straight home series victory. Milwaukee hasn't dropped a series at American Family Field since the Yankees took 2 out of 3 at the end of April. And how are they rewarded for this? An immediate road trip out west. Ugh. No rest for you guys. You get 4 nights in Colorado, and then you go to what's that? Oh, nothing to it. Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the Rockies record? I think they're 27 games back.
Yeah, and with the Brewers hitting home runs like they are, I like their odds if they don't let up or take anything for granted. So the next 4 nights in Colorado and then 3 against the Dodgers in Los Angeles. So we've got this Western road trip ahead. The Brewers' other Bryce Wilson, will get the start at 7:40 tonight. You can listen to the pregame starting at 7:05 on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN Racine Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, 98Q Country in Park Falls. We're planning this little shindig that we're having here this weekend, and because some guy is turning old and his wife is insisting that, you know, we should have a party. And it's only exacerbating the feelings of pending elderliness. Here's my latest example. You've woken up before. A leg cramp
many times.
You up
I've woken
by,
up so. Many times. It's a consistent thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. happened to me Saturday morning. I was sleeping in, which for sleeping in for me, but you know, it was 5:30.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. What's sleeping in for you?
The thing is, I might have made it till 6 had my leg not cramped up.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's the thing that you do when that happens? You try to stretch your leg out, right? I worked so hard to stretch it that I actually strained the muscle behind my knee. And now it has felt like a permanent leg cramp all weekend long. Oh,
that sucks.
And I'm just like, this, why is this happening? It's like, you know, this is biology. But again, I keep being told apparently 60 beats the alternative, which my response is always like, what, 30? Like, no, dead, silly. Like, okay, well, yeah, obviously. But we got a lot of work done. I had to put the dock back together because it had rained so much and the rivers, you know, the river had risen here. And quite a few folks lost either sections of their dock. One person lost their boat. It floated a little ways down and they had to go get it back. We've been, fishing cushions out of the, seat cushions out of the river and all kinds of driftwood and things like that. So there were a lot of errands that got done, a lot of landscaping, but,
nice.
The place is coming together, so I guess we'll be able to have a little shindig up here. So
I have to make a things to do list for the house as well for this week. I bought a power washer yesterday.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wait, you're gonna enjoy it. But now, while we're talking old age, I've known two people to do this, so I seriously have to warn you about this.
Yes.
When you see what a power washer is doing, it's kind of addicting. And you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. I've known two different people who threw their shoulder out because they worked on it all day and they're like, this is great. And then the next morning, their shoulder was like dead for like days afterwards.
All right.
So take it easy. Yes, you're going to love it.
Okay.
But take it easy on yourself when you do that.
Noted. I know.
Weird advice you never thought you'd offer up to. Nope.
I love it. I love it.
Yep. Look forward to hearing the results. So next Monday at this time, I cannot wait to hear how the power washing went.
I put a hole in the house.
It could be the highlight of the weekend. When we come back, we're going to unpack the news and we're going to talk a bit about the reaction to last Thursday's debate and so much more ahead on this Monday morning. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this first day of July, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is IGY, a song by Donald Fagen, and it's noted because it was on July 1st of 1957, and then through 1958 marked something called IGY, the International Geophysical Year. It was an international science project and marked the end of a long period during the Cold War when scientific interchange between the East and the West had been seriously interrupted. And instead, there was this dedication toward doing much more about sharing information on things ranging from meteorology to physics to oceanography to seismology. And it led to a lot of optimism at the time about what the world of the future would look like. And Donald Fagen captured that in his song about, traveling undersea. And we have the tunnel now under the English Channel, people wearing spandex jackets, so many other things. And sometimes we need to be reminded that for all of the yucky stuff out there in the world, shall we say, there's still a lot of good things out there. But yes, Greg, leave it to Donald Fagen to sing about a 1957 song about scientific sharing of information.
Nerd. Okay.
turning it into some relentless optimism. So.
But the thing is like, I grew up in like listening to progressive rock and metal, which is all like, dragons and swords. And leave it to Donald Fagen to talk about a topic like this, but like just, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
feeling good.
Oh yeah, Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he's, he and Steely Dan, no one does it better than that.
Exactly. Right. The Up North News Daily newsletter reminds us, and I'd forgot about this, Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, which someday will also be known as Christian Yelich Day, he explains. In the newsletter, it notes that the New York Mets will again be teased today about a deal they made back in 2000 with their superstar player, where Bobby Bonilla let the Mets agree to keep the $6 million that they owed him that year, and in return agree to be paid over a much longer period, a period still going on. It means from now until 2035, the Mets send him a $1 million check every July 1st. So the Mets got to save $6 million back in 2000 when they really needed it. But by the time they pay it back with interest, it'll be $30 million. And he gets a $1 million check well into his 70s. Well, when Christian Yelich was negotiating his current nine-year, $215 million contract 4 years ago, he and the Brewers owner, Mark Adonasio, agreed to defer $30 million of the contract. The team will pay him $2.5 million annually from 2031 to 2042, long after his playing days are over. And when Adonasio and Yelich's agent couldn't agree on whether the payments should be made on January 1st or maybe, you know, in October at the end of every baseball season, they settled on July 1st as a tribute to Bobby Bonilla. So when Bobby Bonilla's payments stop on July 1st of 2035, Christian Yelich's July 1st payments will continue on to 2042. So happy Bobby Bonilla Christian Yelich Day.
Shohei Ohtani took the same thing. He deferred $680 million of his contract that he'll start getting paid in 2034 through 2043, $68 million a year.
Oh, my gosh.
I have failed in life. Seriously, I've done nothing correct.
So you can learn more about that in the Up North News daily newsletter and so much more. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Yeah, we are not getting paydays like that today. Folks, I am really looking forward to the presidential election of 2028. Two new candidates, a new American chapter, but some of you are trying to cut the line and you need to let that go. Any sense of instant gratification like that is a privilege that, frankly, we're not going to get. If you want to get to a new chapter in American politics, you're going to need to do the work in the here and now. And that takes us to the reaction to last week's poor debate performance by Joe Biden. Now, I'm a little hesitant to do this, but I'm going to make a confession. Back when Joe Biden first took office, I thought that he'd maybe serve 3 years and then pull a Judge Smales from Caddyshack. Like, oh, my arm, it's broken. You know, some kind of a health concern. Something where after he'd already done what America needed most, which was remind Americans to show up on Election Day 2020 and start digging ourselves out of this mess, I thought there was a good chance he might then enjoy a well-earned retirement and show up in all the ribbon cuttings for the next decade of all the good stuff he and a Democratic Congress did to invest in the country again. And look, if he would have pulled out of the race, say, last August, it would have been his signal that we want a wide-open primary. Or maybe he'd have pulled out, say, last November as a signal to get behind Kamala Harris or get out. But here's the thing. Whether you wanted him to do it or not, he didn't. Maybe in part because Donald Trump still hasn't faced consequences for attempting a coup, for being a Putin puppet, for botching a pandemic, for jacking up the deficit with tax cuts for billionaires. So Trump, a convicted felon, an adjudicated rapist, a serial liar, is still a threat to take over the United States government. Joe Biden has beaten him. Nobody else has. Biden has been underestimated throughout his career by his peers, by the press, by the chattering class. He was left for dead on the side of the road in January of 2020, but now, in hindsight, does anyone think one of the other 2020 Democratic candidates had a chance against Trump? Stop kidding yourself. One ticket did that. Biden and Harris. Now some of you want Biden to quit because of one bad debate. And some of you want the first black vice president to have to re-audition for the job. Really? Black women are the unsung heroes of today's Democratic Party. They are Katherine Johnson at NASA. You appreciate the work, but you want to wait 60 years before publicly acknowledging it. This isn't Hidden Figures. This is the here and now. Celebrate them right now. Don't insult them. Kamala Harris is staying right where she belongs. And for now, so is Joe Biden. Unless, or until, his political instincts, which have consistently been better than the average bear, tell him otherwise. Let me give a little credit to Kirk Bangstad at the Minocqua Brewing Company for making a point about this over the weekend. He writes an essay every Sunday. A lot of times it's about the ups and downs of his continued battle with doing business in Deep Red Oneida County. But this weekend's post reminded us that in 1944, Franklin Roosevelt faced the same not-so-quiet whisper campaign. But the voters knew better. They knew that when faced between two options, there was one option where leadership does not require you to be an Olympic athlete. It does not even require you to be the loudest talker in the room, especially when the loud talker is lying and showing that he cannot be trusted to lead. Open up the blinders, folks. Look at the whole expense in front of us. There's a leader who's given us the strongest economy in the world, and there's the guy trashing the economy as a path to power. The whole expanse is in front of us, including 2028. But we have to do the work in 2024 first with the people who have already proven they can get it done. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki coming up next. You're up north. Hey, it's 6:34 on a Monday, not a Thursday, a Monday, and yet Joe Zepecki is here because of that debate thing that we were still kind of reviewing and talking about what is the path forward in the presidential campaign. And, you know, we've also got Independence Day coming up, so we're actually going to have a special edition with Joe Zepecki and Melissa Baldoff
together. My better half.
Your better half is going to be here, and that will be on Wednesday morning at 6:30. So tune in for that. But this one here is about the debate in the presidential campaign and the path forward. So we don't have to do the spot reaction right after the debate. But you, as a strategist, as a consultant, as an experienced pro in this, you know, where would you go from here?
Well, there's still two things that have to be done. And to just back up for 1 second, because I do think it helps to sort of contextualize. Joe Biden is an objectively good to great American president who had an objectively bad, not great night on Thursday. Donald Trump, the guy standing on the other side of the stage, was an objectively awful American president. Joe Biden nailed it in the debate, pointing out that a survey of like 200 or 170 some historians recently did this and agreed that Donald Trump was the worst president in American history. And the fact that he had what is being viewed by some pundits and prognosticators as a strong debate performance is sort of impossible to hear, given that every other word out of Trump's mouth was a bald-faced lie. I mean, we could sit here for the next 15 minutes and only go lie after lie. The one that struck me as the most frustrating was that Jake Tapper was on that stage too. And 4-star general, retired, John Kelly, who was chief of staff to President Donald Trump, confirmed on the record to Jake Tapper that Donald Trump called fallen heroes suckers and losers. And so for Donald Trump to stand on that debate stage and accuse Joe Biden of making that up, and for Jake Tapper to just kind of sit there and not interject, was extremely frustrating. And it underscores what a nightmare it is to be in the same room as Donald Trump, because it is not a fire hose of lies. It is a volcanic eruption of lies. And for anyone, whether you're Joe Biden, who's been doing this for 50 years, or the smoothest talking, slick talking guy on the block, that's a really, really difficult environment to be in when you're standing next to an inveterate liar.
But
now that said, that said, there's some things that have to be done in the next 4 months or so, and that will be done, which is the stakes will continue to clarify for the American people. And what President Biden and Vice President Harris and Democrats need to do is remind people what is at stake. Now, interestingly, Friday morning, the Supreme Court handed us another reminder of what's at stake. Climate change, access to drugs approved by the FDA, whether it be mifepristone or anything else. The activist Roberts Court declared on Friday in the Chevron decision that they are now the administrative state in this country, that executive agencies are no longer allowed to interpret laws passed by Congress and implement them in a way that benefits the American people. That is not as easy a decision to understand as the Dobbs decision, but it is almost as monumental a decision and a erosion of the American system as that Dobbs decision was. And so whether it is on those issues, access to reproductive health care, the ability of the United States government to implement the laws passed by the Congress, the Project 2025 blueprint and playbook that Donald Trump has ready to go on day one if he is elected president again, these are the stakes. And that is what I would remind everybody and have been reminding people for the last 4 days, is that both of the men on stage on Thursday have way more yesterdays than they do tomorrows. But the rest of us have a lot more tomorrows. And that's ultimately what this race comes down to, is what does tomorrow look like? What kind of country do you want your kids and your grandkids to grow up in? And I think when you think about it that way, and just spend 5 seconds thinking about, do I want my granddaughters to grow up in a world where they have fewer freedoms and rights than they did, than their grandparents did? Of course not. And so that's the campaign to come. And did it get a little bit tougher on Thursday night? Yeah, but onward we fight and onward we press, because there is so much at stake.
And many people do. Many people are, yourself included, on behalf of Protect Our Care. You kind of got back to basics and put out something that was just, it's your classic side by side. You know, column A is Joe Biden, column B is Donald Trump, and you go right down the line, the Affordable Care Act, drug pricing, Medicare, Medicaid, other health care issues, and just, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You see the record of one and the record of the other. Now, that doesn't come out on a debate stage, certainly to this detail. So the question then becomes, Joe, you've got the side-by-side here. You've got this is factual stuff from each of their records. Now, how do you get that to voters who might otherwise just see a clip of the debate and very little else?
Well, you get it in the mail and in conversations and on TV. And here is that side-by-side. The Affordable Care Act has never been stronger than it is under Joe Biden. Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act strengthened the Affordable Care Act. It was the most comprehensive, impressive healthcare reform in this country since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which a lot of people call Obamacare. And that means that if you're on Medicare and need insulin, you can no longer be charged more than $35 a month. It means that starting next year, if you are a senior on Medicare, you can no longer pay more than $2,000 out of pocket. The advanced premium tax credits have made the Obamacare plans more affordable for more Americans than ever before, which is how you end up with 21.3 million Americans in the marketplace. On the other side, Donald Trump will repeal the ACA. He wanted to do it last time. He tried to do it last time. He got halfway there. And what that means is we would return to the days of things like it was okay for insurance companies to discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions, where if you got sick, the health insurance company could say, you're sick now. We're not going to cover you anymore. That didn't work for the American people. It was a terrible way to run healthcare in this country. That's now better. We will lose that progress if Trump returns to the White House. So on healthcare, and frankly on a lot of other issues, the difference is clear, it is stark, and it impacts the American people and all of the tomorrows that American families have. And that's what's missing when we reduce our politics to reality TV shows and ask people to stand on stage for 90 minutes and talk past one another, because there is nothing about being the American president that requires you to be good at debating. You have to be a leader. You have to understand strategy. You have to hire good people. You have to have values and things that you care about. Joe Biden has those things in spades. Donald Trump does not. And he proved that again on Thursday night. And that's the other part of the Thursday night of it that I would remind people is Donald Trump is talking about an America that does not exist. We are not a third world country. We are the greatest country in the world, with the greatest, strongest economy in the world, with the strongest military in the world. There's not a leader of another foreign country that wouldn't change places and want to be leading the United States of America tomorrow. That's the reality. But Donald Trump doesn't live in reality. He lives in a fantasy land of his own making because he's only interested in himself and power and not in you and your family.
It's not going to be easy, in part because, and I'm far from the first one to say this, it seems like people have really memory-holed the pandemic. Yeah. And so to, again, you can't just rely on data, but somehow I feel like you have to evoke the memories of being so embarrassed or frustrated. And maybe these Supreme Court decisions help with that, because essentially this Supreme Court is a continuation of Trump's term in office. But somehow you have to make this evocative rather than just data-based, which I'd be happy to do, but I'm definitely not in the mainstream on that front.
But that's the story that the Biden campaign needs to tell and will tell to the American people and the rest of this campaign, which is that when Joe Biden came into office, for the first time in history, there was not a peaceful transition of power. We literally had deaths at the Capitol, and the state of the economy was in free fall. There was not a single vaccine shot in a single arm. People were terrified. We were in, at that point, year two of the pandemic. Joe Biden brought us back from that. And I'm not here to say, and the Biden campaign won't say, that happy days are here again and it's the roaring 20s. Mm-hmm. But the economy is objectively good. Just in the last few days, I've gone out to watch, some of the boys I coached in basketball play in their summer league, and families are out and about and having a good time. You look at what's going on in airports, and airplanes are full, and more people are going through TSA screening than ever before, because the American economy is doing all right. It's not perfect. We're paying more for some things, but we are night and day different than where we were the day before Joe Biden raised his right hand and swore an oath to God to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That is what he has done for 3.5 years. And I have no doubt that he is up to the job and able to continue to do that. Because if he wasn't, we would have seen that. There are responsible people around Joe Biden who put this country first, just as Joe Biden does. And so I'm rambling on here, but I'm fired up and ready to go. And that's the difference, right? Is that when you have a bad night or a bad game, right, there are some people who hit the panic button and freak out. And there's other people who say, okay, it's time to go to work. It's time to double down. And that's what I think we ought to do here.
Well, and that's why, let's make this an internal Democratic thing for a moment. The folks who are disparaged as bedwetters or thumbsuckers, the people who right away were saying, replace Joe Biden on the ticket, not independents, but, hardcore Democrats. And there were some out there that are doing that. We always want to tend to make a big deal about that. And yet it's happened every time. Obama 2012 and Bill Clinton in 92 or 96 had a terrible first debate, and everybody was all done with. And I'm not saying that that part of the chattering class isn't going to exist, but the question becomes, do they actually try to amplify things? Do they try to create an LBJ moment from 1968 and have a wide open race at the last minute? Or did they once again have a knee-jerk reaction? Joe Biden strings together a couple of good days and all's right with the world again.
Democrats, here's what I have to say to you. Water's wet, the sky's blue, grass is green, and we love to complain and panic and freak out. We don't need to do that. You mentioned some historical examples. I'll throw a few more at you. Ronald Reagan had a miserable debate in 1984, that no one remembers because in the second debate, he had a snappy line about how he wasn't going to use his opponent's youth and inexperience against him. John Fetterman, running for the United States Senate while recovering from a stroke, had objectively the worst debate performance by a Senate candidate ever and still won because the American people are good and decent and smart and they understand what is at stake and they want leaders who reflect their values and who want this country to be better off when we say goodbye than it was when we found it. And I really believe that at the end of the day, that is what is going to happen here, is that Joe Biden's vision for America is going to win out because it is one where you can work your way into the middle class, where you can retire with dignity, even if you weren't born the son of a real estate magnate like Donald Trump was. That's the difference. If you want more tax cuts for the wealthiest among us and CEOs and big business, okay, then Donald Trump's your guy. If you want an economy that is fairer and works more for, works better for more people, it's Joe Biden. And that's the choice. And I am confident that the American people see that difference and understand that the vision of that Donald Trump has of this country and for this country is not compatible with our values and who we are as a people.
Having said all that, although I often use it as a punchline or a way to deflect, I'm going to say again, because we're now going to see even more surrogates and things like that. Joe, I am genuinely excited for the presidential election of 2028.
We're here.
new blood, a lot of good people out there. Listen to what they say on behalf of this race, because, you know, God willing and a fair wind blowing, we're going to have some fun 4 years from now.
I will make this bold prediction. Mm-hmm. The 2028 Democratic nominee for president is going to be someone who comes to Wisconsin to campaign for Joe Biden. We don't know who it is. So you better get out there, kick the tires on these folks.
Very nicely put. Joe Zepecki, thank you for a little special edition. And then another one coming up this Wednesday. We'll talk to you then.
Happy 4th, everybody. Have a great week.
Selena Heller joins us for today's history lesson next. You're up north.
Yeah, but I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
It was on this day in 1966 that Bob Dylan released rock's first double album, Blonde on Blonde, Rainy Day Women 12 and 35, featuring that single as well, this day in 1966. Happy Canada Day. The British North American Act took effect to create the modern-day nation of Canada. The first Tour de France bicycle race took place this day in 1903. And SOS was adopted as the international distress signal on this day in 1908. That starts off today's history lesson, where we're joined by Selena Heller as well as Greg Bach. Selena and Whiskers, mm-hmm. who's taking up as much of the screen as he wants to at times.
Always.
And Selena's all very patriotic here. Is that is that just sparkling, or is that like a battery powered star you got on there?
Yes, it's a sequin star, it looks like.
Oh, yep. So the sequins are catching the light.
Yes.
You don't actually have a light up jacket.
No, I don't. Okay. Maybe I should look at
But
that.
Now you're wishing you did.
Yes.
Greg's already on Etsy looking to see what he can find for this weekend.
Are you kidding me? I have like a Tuesday's light up jacket. I have a Wednesday light up jacket.
Where's Monday's?
Kidding.
No.
I'm wearing my WAUK shirt on Monday. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
See, on Monday, he's a good company man. Yeah. After that, he's a billboard for sale.
Exactly.
On this day in 1967, Scott McKenzie's San Francisco song, written by the Mamas and the Papas John Phillips, reached its chart peak of number 4. It was truly a high point in the flower power movement when people wore jackets with embroidered stars that would glitter as the sequins catch the light, just so. Selena playing the part of our resident hippie here. On this day in 1956, the family-friendly Steve Allen Show didn't want Elvis Presley gyrating around like he did on the Milton Berle Show a couple weeks back we told you about. So instead, they forced Elvis to wear a tux and forced him to sing Hound Dog to a basset hound who was also in a tuxedo.
God.
And if you've ever If you've ever seen the movie, the Elvis movie from a couple of years back, you see what an embarrassing moment that was for the future king. Birthdays today include Debbie Harry is 79 today.
What an intro.
Mm-hmm. Lead singer of Blondie, 79 years old today. Dan Aykroyd is 72. Jamie Farr from MASH. Klinger is 90 years old today. Happy birthday, Jamie Farr. Diana, the Princess of Wales, this should have been her 63rd birthday. She passed away in 1997 at the age of 36. We talked about the International Geophysical Year beginning this day in 1957. And a happy birthday to Fred Schneider of the B-52s. He is 73 today.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching.
Zip codes were introduced for the U.S. mail on this day in 1963. Sony introduced the Walkman this day in 1979. Remember the first time you got your own little personal music player and you didn't, nobody had to say, turn that thing down.
The first Walkman was only $2,700.
It was a little out of reach at first, yes. Happy birthday to Victor Willis. Selena, any idea who Victor Willis is?
Nope.
Lead singer of the Village People. Can you guess which one he was? He was the policeman. Hit it.
You best believe that. He's a macho man. He likes to be the leader. He never dresses grand. Hey.
Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Macho man. Calm down.
Show is just dripping with macho, I tell you. On this day in 1987, WFAN in New York City launched as the world's first all-sports radio station. And we know how much some of our listeners love when we talk all sports here, don't we, Greg?
Oh, absolutely. Happy birthday to WFAN. We're happy you're here and happy to help us talk about sports. We're boring.
Tony and Hayward, who normally calls us out on these kinds of things, also asked about your WAUK shirt, Greg. Is there a store of some kind where people could get clothes as cool as Greg Box?
Well, Tony, listening, watching on the live stream, you can go to civicmedia.us, click on that store tab, and you can find shirts and hats much like what I have right now. This is a WAUK shirt. I love this shirt because it reminds me. It has a country vibe to it. There's a Grand Ole Opry feel to it.
Yes, it does.
That's why I like it so much. It's comfy, and I think I look good in red.
Yes.
Indeed you do.
Why, thank you, Selena.
Very patriotic. Happy birthday to Missy Elliott. She's 53 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
Mississippi putting it down. I'm the hottest round. I told your mother.
Always making sure I note for Greg, I did look up the clean version of this. You have to. If you don't see the word clean on some songs, she's like, don't even play it. Don't even take the chance.
Do you know what Missy Elliott and I have in common?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
We follow each other on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. One of my greatest moments ever. When I saw follow come back, I was like, I threw my phone and went, ah!
Nice. And then finally, in 2006, there was a very brief period in America where the most famous Taylor was Taylor Hicks after winning season 5 of American Idol.
Otherwise, Soul Patrol!
How Swifty since then. Selena, we're talking about surrogacy in our next, at the top of the next hour, right?
We are. There's a lot, I was looking on our Facebook pages, mom Facebook pages, and I couldn't believe the vast amount of women around that have done this. I had no idea. People were commenting, yeah, if you have any questions, just ask me. I will answer whatever questions for you, because people have a lot of questions, and I didn't know this has become such a popular kind of a thing.
It has, and so we'll talk more about that coming up after the news. One final historical note, the Battle of Gettysburg began on this day in 1812. 1863. It included Wisconsin's Iron Brigade. They were in the thick of the battle on the first day, including the 26th Wisconsin Infantry, which was composed almost entirely of German immigrants. All told, the state of Wisconsin provided 90,000 men for service in the Union Army. Between the battle dead and other causes of death, 12,300 Wisconsin men died in the Civil War, which is why anytime I see a Confederate flag anywhere in the state, they can take that flag and their BS about heritage and cram it up someplace I can't talk about on the radio. Again, our